Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Roots podcast. I'm going to get right into it. I just wanted to film a very short intro to explain a couple things. First of all, we got to get our plugs out of the way. So no ads or anything. But if you are interested, we still have our merch store up. So if you're interested in a cool hat or a hoodie or tons of other cool t-shirts representing your local Grand Rapids mountain bike trails or your favorite local mountain bike podcast, go ahead to localroots.us and check it out. Other than that, I want to say a big thank you again to all the guys at Third Nature who had us out to record in person for the first time. We've been doing so many Zoom podcasts, so it was so cool to go and do a podcast in person. And that's another reason why I recorded this. Please bear with me. I'm still getting back to editing a couple mics in person instead of just throwing a Zoom episode together. I think it turned out good, but I do apologize that the audio is not as crystal clear as it usually is, but it still sounds great and it's such a good episode. Thank you guys again for having us. It was a blast. And if you haven't been to Third Nature, go now. You'll never have a bad time, I promise. And then the last thing I want to say is if you are listening to this episode, please feel free to check out. We filmed the entire thing and we have a great video over on our YouTube channel. It's linked on our Instagram account. It's in the description. So feel free to watch or listen this time. Again, it was a great episode and I think you guys are going to really like it. And we do apologize that it's been a couple weeks since we've posted, but we're back and we're better than ever. So thanks again for watching and get into it.
Welcome to Local Roots Podcast.
What is up, Brian? How are you doing?
What's happening, Larry? We are in a wonderful establishment, drinking some very nice suds. We are at Third Nature Brewing Company.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you're watching this, you're seeing the sick views from the upstairs of Third Nature.
Oh, yeah.
We got two wonderful guests with us, and we're going to have a good time today. How are you guys doing so far?
Doing well.
Yeah. After for context, they just had to watch us set up for like 45 minutes. So.
For more context, they had to watch Leary set up for 45 minutes.
And honestly, just Chad was up here watching. So,
but we made it, and that's the important part. So,
here we are.
Exactly. Busy day.
Without further ado, guests, introduce yourselves.
Yeah, if you don't mind giving just your role here, and I don't know, just tell whatever you want the world to know.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I'll start out. I'm Chad Zitzelsberger. So this is a family a team tonight. So I'm brother number one at the brewery. I guess I kind of handle more the business side.
You call
of things.
Brother
Did
one?
You call him brother number one too?
Brother one, the older one. Brother number one.
Okay, yeah that's the rules.
First one born. I guess.
Your parents call him brother number one.
We don't talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, so my role here is, mainly just handling the business side of things, doing the grunt work, washing dishes, things like that while I'm here. But that's me.
Awesome.
My name is Troy Zitzelsberger. I'm brother number 2.1, I guess.
Nice.
I slave away in the brewery. You might see me driving around the van every now and then.
You're the head brewer, though, right? You craft these concoctions. Is that not true? You're underselling.
You're underselling, yeah.
He's the wizard behind the menu is what we call it.
You know, with beer, is anything but pretentious. Okay. So we all just like to have fun with it.
Yeah, no one in the beer world is snobby.
No.
They shouldn't be, though. You
know. They shouldn't be. You're right.
I remember a week in college where we became beer snobs then.
Well, yeah. Beer snobs is a different thing, though. You know, there are too many kinds of beer nowadays to settle for just
anything. You have to, like, specialize. Are you a sour snob? Are you an IPA snob?
I became a beer snob in college to everybody when I would just be like, I just want an IPA. And they're like, oh, Brian's a freaking nerd. He's a beer snob.
Like, what? You won't drink a Miller Lite? Why not?
Drink it all day, man. It's not like this is, like, some crazy exquisite beer. Like, it's great, but, like, it comes in 15 packs.
So. I think a fun fact is both of you are Mount Pleasant. You grew up there. So we went to college there. Did you go to school there as well or just Chad?
I took a class at Central when I was in high school.
Okay, that was tight.
But my sister and I went to State.
Oh, very cool.
He's a Sparty.
Okay, nice. Well,
so I'm actually kind of Chippewa and Sparty.
That's you got it all in your blood. Like
I mean, if you had to go somewhere else to get a lower education than the Chippewas, we understand. But,
I'll take it.
He's not even pushing that. Okay.
Oh, I should have worn my Chippewas versus MSU shirt. I have a shirt that has all the scores on it.
Yeah. Of the one time we beat,
no,
Central.
No, twice. Twice. Yep. Oh, yeah, it happened twice.
Yeah, win or lose, though, we didn't really care. We just enjoyed partying, so.
We care.
Mm-hmm. We pretend to. So I think we kind of want to learn just like a little bit, because you guys are newer. You're newer to the Grand Rapids area, Rockford area, whatever you want to call it. Came in strong, though. I mean, ever since day one, you have this big, gorgeous building, and I know I've been a fan ever since you opened.
So it's like the first thing that struck me was just like how unique the venue is and the location. And it was like, this is badass. This is cool. And like before we like even had beer or food or anything, it was like, hey, where this place is sweet and it's different.
Yeah, we knew it was cool just like driving by it every day. Like, oh man, I can't wait till they open. And then they opened and it lived up to the hype. Like, you got half of like the hop lot vibes of like up north. And then you got like indoor, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect kind of combination.
Yeah, if we were going to open up a brewery, you know, we were going to do it with a beer garden because beer garden comes with the last name. So,
Yeah. Our German roots.
Yep, I love it.
Well, heck yeah.
Yeah, so it was not an easy task. So, I guess just jump right into
please
our story.
Do. Yeah, there's nothing. There's no schedule. There's no way we do this podcast. Just go for it.
So we've been open now about a year and a half. And so the whole thing probably started about 5 years ago. Troy, my brother, let him kind of chime in on this, but you know, he was living out in South Korea. If anyone knows the brewery, they probably heard the story about that. He was out there for 8 years or so and owned a restaurant out there at one point, a tap house, and then he also owned a brew pub out there. And that's the last I'll speak to, but it was always our goal whenever he moved back here. You know, our whole family's always been we just love beer. Yeah, I mean, we're Germans, you know. We go out to, when we were younger, my god, we went out to Germany, to Munich, I think, when Troy was 14. And our whole family just got smashed at the Hopper House.
I was actually the legal drinking age in Germany at the time. So I was a little older than 14.
You can see over the bar on your tiptoes.
But anyway, so it was always a goal of ours to, whenever he came back to the States, to open it up and, you know, do something back here. So about 5 years ago, he started thinking about coming back. And we started, you know, kind of hashing away and thinking about if we wanted to do this, where did we want to do it? Well, the three partners in this place are myself, Troy, and our brother-in-law Bryce, who also lives in Rockford,
And he just didn't want to hang out with us. He heard we were going to be here.
He's got his daughter's last track meet.
Sure,
no, 9-year-old's track meet.
So I'm sure he's listening to the pod, and he was like, "Nope."
He's like, "I'd rather be there drinking beer with you guys."
It's I'll chime in here real quick too, while Chad's on this, just so he doesn't miss it. So, our sister got wind that we were, you know, looking to do something of this nature here, and she came to us. Her name's Lisa, and she said, "We want in." And that was that.
Okay. That easy? Okay.
So that kind of, you know, the three parts of the family came in. That's also part of the name of the brewery.
The
you know,
third
age. Okay. So this was Bryce, right?
Yep.
What is his role here?
He kind of does same as me. So okay. Me and Bryce, this wasn't our full-time job. We've got careers outside of this. Yep. So we pretty much, well, for one, we try to stay out of the way. Okay. And that's things up for one that actually
cook.
Knows what they're doing here. But we handle more of the business side of it. I'm a financial advisor. You know, Bryce works in consulting. So, you know, we handle more of the business side of it. But yeah, that's pretty much our role here.
Great. Yeah, I like to describe Bryce's role as, have you ever seen Office Space? Of course.
Yes.
You know, the Bobs?
The what?
The Bobs.
I don't think so.
You know, the two guys that they brought in to basically downsize the company, create more efficiency, find things like that. Yes. That's what Bryce basically did in Chicago for years.
Got it. So loved by many.
He's an efficiencies expert.
Got it.
So. Okay. Does he do OBM stuff by chance? Organization behavior management?
He doesn't do that any longer.
Okay.
Yeah. After they moved from Chicago to the Rockford area, he got into different work of life.
Okay.
I hear a lot of people do that. They take the Chicago to Grand Rapids. I don't know why. What?
Crazy.
I thought you said crazy people. What was that?
It's because they don't want to raise their kids in Chicago.
I get it too, and it's like it's the next closest small city with still kind of a city vibe. I don't know. I get it.
Yeah, it just makes it weird for me and my wife because we don't have any kids. You know, I was like, oh god, how are we in Rockford?
You have all the world to go. Yeah, visit. Yeah, you don't come here till like you're 40. Yeah. actually, if you don't mind backing up of just like, what was it like living in Korea or South Korea?
I mean, it was nice. I was out there for almost 9 years. So honestly, I had a lot of great opportunities present themselves, and I was very fortunate. So before that, I was living in Thailand, and it just got too hot. And my friends told me, go check out South Korea. So I said, all right, why the hell not? And, you know.
Just were you out like, what was the plan when you first started?
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what drew you out there?
So honestly, I was living in New York City for a bit, and you know, New York City can be a little hectic. So I just felt like I wanted to get out of the States for a little while.
Okay.
And Thailand was cheap.
So I said,
I'll go check out Thailand. I was in Thailand for probably about 10 months.
Okay.
And then, you know, I just, all the heat and everything just kind of, I needed to change the scenery.
Okay.
So,
let's back up a little bit even further.
Oh,
so
all right.
What did you Brian's study at MSU? Deep.
I got a degree in marketing and international business.
Okay. Yeah. So the international business. Okay, that's kind of at least something now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I tied that in.
So you always had that like root of like, I got to go.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an explorer. But then I grew up and found out they pretty much found everything.
Everything's pretty found.
Like, oh, is that still a role? Yeah.
What do I do?
Hey, don't tell that to Bezos. He thinks he can still find some shit up there.
Yeah. And then the beer thing came in while I was at Michigan State. Ta-da.
Hey. Hey, hey.
I may or may not have been 21 at the time, but I started homebrewing, and and there it came from.
Yeah, couldn't find anyone to buy for you, so you did it yourself.
So I make my own beer.
No, I already used all my
Why did we think
IDs
of that? Damn it.
Ran out of fake IDs, so
yeah,
I guess I can make my own.
Actually, I started with wine because it was very easy to make wine.
Okay.
It was basically prison hooch, you know.
Mm, yum.
The last name is Zitzelsberger. I called it Zitzelschwein.
Okay. Yeah. Was it the talk of the town?
Something like that.
Notoriously.
It's like the moonshine of East Lansing. Like.
Yeah, there's probably 1 gallon of it still around somewhere.
And it's like aged to perfection. Yeah.
87% alcohol at this point.
Like. Yeah. That's great. And then it kind of influences the menu here a little bit too, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. If you look around, actually, you'll see kind of throwbacks to my time in South Korea. Like, if you just look right over here, I mean, that garage door is up currently, but. If you look under the two deer in the mural, you'll see the basically a peace sign, or what looks like a peace sign. It's a circle, and you'll see the swivel line going through the middle of it.
Yeah,
that's in the Korean flag. It's right in the middle of the Korean flag.
Okay.
So. And throughout the whole mural, we have little throwbacks to different things. So everything's got a meaning.
Wow.
But also on the menu too, you know, with the beers. A few of the beers made the trip overseas. So.
Awesome. So I mean, all right, we don't have to dwell on this, but one last question I have is like, what are the go-to beers there? Are they similar to the U.S. or are they like digging into something darker, lighter,
so
sweeter?
The U.S. question. Craft beer scene basically has made its way all over the world now.
Cool.
And the main thing that the U.S. has is innovation. You know, we take all these old styles and we make something new. And then we just basically like to throw whatever we can throw in a beer and make something new. You know?
Yeah.
And the rest of the world, you know, I'd say even Germany included, has also followed that. You know, with the Rheinheitsgebot and everything, technically they can't call it beer, but there are a lot of brew pubs and microbreweries, you know, doing what we call craft beer all over the world. So same thing happened in South Korea.
Cool.
It all boils down to just taxes and regulations, basically easing and making the way for people to be able to open up a brew pub or a microbrewery.
Cool.
But IPAs, reign supreme. Yeah.
Everywhere. Still IPAs?
Everywhere. All over the
really?
World. Everywhere.
Now, the reason for that, my dad does some homebrewing, and he said he always made an IPA because he said it was pretty much next to impossible to fuck it up. Is that accurate? Is that why? Because I've heard, because India Pale Ale is because they could ship it across seas, right? And it wouldn't like go bad as far as they knew.
Yeah.
Like, the taste.
Yeah, the whole IPA story is something else, but but yes, because hops have, you know, antibacterial properties to them, so that's the main reason. But you can still, you know, screw up an IPA.
Okay.
But
do hops also prevent against scurvy when you're on the boat? Or is,
if you drink enough of anything, who knows? But then again, you might fall off the boat. So
that's why they have the orange in the hazier one.
Yeah, that's why you got
that's
citrus,
for scurvy prevention.
Yeah, citrus hops.
There you go.
Love it. So what are your guys' favorite things to drink?
So I've always been, an IPA guy. You know, so really twofold. I've always been an IPA guy. Love IPAs. Always have since I turned into a beer snob. And then I'm a big seasonal guy, too. So, you know, in the winter months, you know, in the wintertime when it's cold outside, I like my dark and heavy stouts. You know, springtime, I like my, you know, lighter beers. Summertime, I like my, you know, fruity, refreshing beers when I'm on the golf course.
Yeah.
Wintertime, like my Oktoberfest. I like my ambers. and that's me. That's pretty basic.
A good healthy rotation you got there.
So are we talking in the middle of a summer brew day? What do I like to drink?
Sure.
You take it as you want.
However you want. Give us a couple different climate examples.
A mug full of ice and about 90% Powerade and about 10% lemonade. Most refreshing thing ever.
Okay.
It's pretty nice. It
gets really hot in the brew house, everyone. but, so that's what he means.
But in my mug right now, I've got a Belgian wheat session IPA with just Sultana hops. So we wanted to give the Sultana hop a go. So
nice. What is that one called?
This one, we call Pineapple Kush.
Pineapple Kush.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try that one next.
Yep.
Cool.
And the Sultana hop is supposed to have big pineapple in it. And okay. That's basically what they sell it as, big pineapple. So I wasn't really expecting the whole Kush part to come in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it did.
It's good
like,
marketing,
holy Hannah.
Really. All right.
So
I've got a beer question.
Brian, you go first.
So
I got to check the camera.
What are your favorite, kind of from the big breweries, what's like your go-to beer from them? Like, mine's Two Hearted. Like, I feel like it's got the consistency. It can never go wrong with Two Hearted, and you can find it literally anywhere. What's your guys' go-to?
Well, to answer that question, I did just buy a six-pack of Double Two Hearted.
Ooh! My fiance bought me one yesterday because I'm going on the batch party. That was her batch party gift to me.
Oh, nice.
Very excited. This pod won't come out until like later. My gift to Alexa is a potato with my face on it that she has to carry around with her throughout her parties. So anyway,
awesome.
I don't want to tell everybody that.
You're probably going to take a bite out of it and send you a picture.
I know. It's got your shirt and Double Two Hearted, and I was like, oh, shit.
I got a potato.
Potato.
I was like, damn.
Did you try it yet?
No, I haven't. I literally just got it from Meijer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one in my fridge that Brian gave me last year. So I'm sure that one will be just as good.
They're stable, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
Yeah. And do a side-by-side. Let us know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's actually a pretty interesting idea. Of like, well, yeah, we'll do like a mini.
Yeah, you got to be honest, though.
All right. I'll try.
Yeah.
Anyway, I always like
asking. Mainstay beer. What is yours?
So I've probably got three. All the IPA.
Okay.
All the beer. Always love that beer. It's refreshing. It's crushable. You can smash it on a hot day after a run, something like that. You know, Two Hearted is always, I mean, God, it's one of the best IPAs in the world for a reason. It's a damn good beer. And then M43. I mean,
play the hits.
We have the same palate.
Phenomenal beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Good. Now, Larry, back to your question. Sorry.
No, please. We're at the end of the table. It's like a Zoom call.
It is.
Of like,
we're far enough away.
Like we're finally doing a pod in person for the first. This is our first one in person in.
Holy shit, it is.
Maybe a year.
Oh damn.
Yeah, it is.
So this is a really. There's a couple bumps in the road we got to get out.
It's over a year.
Mm-hmm. Over a year.
Well, stop looking at each other. You should be looking at your computer.
Yeah.
Hey, much better.
That would be more comfortable that way.
Holy shit. I see you so much
if we just
now,
pulled up the Zoom, that'd be great. all right, so back on track. When we did like an interview with the Arvon guys, I was really curious to learn about like when they're building the menu, like you have to like weigh like your favorites plus like what you think will sell, even if you don't like it that much. Like that's got to be like a deadly struggle every day. Like you guys have like a rule of like two crazy ones, three hits, and then like two. I don't know. Is there any method to the madness?
The method to the madness is just you got your mainstays. You know, you're something that your customers are going to come in here. They're always going to know will be available.
And what are your mainstays?
We've got quite a few of them, actually. Three Anise one. White Pine Pilsner is one. It's Bohemian Pilsner. We use floor malt to Bohemian malt in that. So very traditional. Our El Jefe is another one. Amber Waves, so Amber Lager, Czech Amber Lager, Soul Stout, so always got to have a stout on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then also Jeju IPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you leave a couple for, like, if you ever just go, like, I had a dream last night.
Yeah.
There was a pumpkin lemon meringue.
We've got 20 taps, so the beers that I just said were what? Took out a little bit more than a quarter of them.
Yeah.
But we also always have a cider on tap. We always have a couple ciders on tap, just regular cider and then, you know, something that we have fun with. And then also a seltzer on tap.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta satisfy everybody. And then all the other taps are for experimentation.
I love that. I think that every brewery should have at least
too much experimentation. If you like, if you really shit the bed, you're like, well, all our beer's terrible.
Well,
right now.
Before this beer, I had a bunch of rye that I wanted to use in a beer, so I did a Belgian rye session IPA. With this one is the Belgian wheat session IPA. Same percentage of the bill, grain bill, but just wheat instead of the rye. So
fun.
And we have a cucumber Hefeweizen on tap right now, too.
Ooh. That sounds actually delightful.
Basil cucumber, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
And we also
have
a coconut lemongrass habanero.
What?
Basically, I was trying to replicate Thai green curry with it.
That's so, out right now or that's coming up?
And okay. Then we just did we do crew brews. So like, you know, one of our staff excels, doing a good job, you know, above and all that jazz. We pick one of them maybe once a quarter or somebody once a quarter to, and they kind of choose what flavors they want to do a beer with.
I love that. That's so cool.
You know, collaborate on it a little bit. Yeah. Come in on the brew day and, you know, get more experience behind the scenes and back of house so they can see what actually goes into making the beers.
Yeah, I bet they love that.
And we just did a agave pineapple goza for that.
So nice.
Literally just carbonated it today.
Okay, so that's coming up?
That's coming up. And we also...
I'm going to be back for that. That sounds so good.
So I was very fortunate to be able to finally get overseas again. And me and my wife went to Egypt. This was also a work trip for inspiration.
I love that.
Studying
right
Egypt,
off. You can write it off.
Hieroglyphics with beer. People don't really realize that the Egyptians were one of the first civilizations that really did beer proper.
That's kind of cool. Can you school us a little on that? I know nothing about that.
So actually started back in ancient Mesopotamia. Started way farther than that because beer actually founded civilization as we know it.
I love this.
Yeah, this is a fact. Don't let anybody ever tell you.
See, Alexa, if you're listening, this is why I drink so much beer. Yep.
Exactly. So hunters and gatherers, you know, way back in the day, they wandered around wherever the herds would go to find food. They moved with the seasons and whatnot. Until one day, they plucked up a bunch of barley from a field, and they put it in a big old bowl, which is what they used to store things those days. It rained. They went on the hunt, came back a few days later. This caused it to germinate. Wild yeast came through in the wind. And started to turn it into alcohol. They drank this, and they didn't know what the hell it was, so they attributed it to their god. You know, God, God is good, right? And they were like, "This is, this is pretty awesome. Let's let's put our roots in here." And they started farming, and civilization came as we know it now.
I would pray to a god of beer.
You can.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
Ninkasi.
Well, yeah. One, you don't drink the rainwater in the backyard. But who knows?
You usually get sick, you know.
What if there's that next tier?
We find the next thing.
That
doesn't
exist
the next
yet.
Thing.
And it's just in my gutters. My
mixed with shingles and glue. And I don't know.
So I had to clean my gutters recently. Have you guys done that?
Drink shingle water, you're saying, or what?
I cleaned their gutters.
I didn't know it was. I'm a new homeowner. And just so there was literally leaves growing out of my gutters, so I was just like that trashy.
You had trees
person.
Growing out of your house.
Yeah, so that was a fun weekend.
Nice.
There's really nothing more to say other than it's disgusting. No. And if I could have hired someone to do it, I would have done it. If I were to do it again, I would hire someone. I thought I could just do that.
Sorry, you probably wouldn't be able to hire anybody anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, right, because no one can hire anyone right now. Are you guys hurting from that at all? All right, so
we don't need to
like
clean gutters. We need to do something else, but, you know.
They'll just take anyone at this point.
Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Is that hurting you? I mean,
it's hurting everybody.
It's got to be. It's a real challenge for the industry right now.
Okay, so anyone listening, if you want to... a foot in the door. If you're a really good employee, you get to
make your own beer. So
call out than that.
Free beer and a fun place to work. For sure. But it definitely is a challenge right now. I mean, you know, we're only open 51 hours right now, which normally we probably try to be open, you know, an extra 10 to 15 hours a week. But, you know, we don't want to burn out our staff at the same time, which, you know, people are just itching to get out too. So that's the frustrating part of it is the business is there, but you know, we don't want to burn out our staff, so we're not going to try and stretch it thin and be open more than we should right now.
So is that the best strategy so far? Like, you guys just take Monday off the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that seems to work pretty well?
It does, yeah. So
I don't
not
think
open,
people miss it that much, right?
Yeah, I mean, who's drinking that much on Monday, especially not during football season? So so we're closed on Mondays. We don't open until 4 o'clock Tuesday through Friday.
Okay. And then Saturday, Sunday from 3 to 4 now, where the kitchen isn't open.
Yeah,
but just basically beers.
Just slinging beer.
I think these are smart ways around it. I mean, you could still basically fake it, then no, well, there's no problem.
I mean, it's just pivoting, Larry and Brian. I mean, yeah. My God, we opened this place in October 2019, so 4 months before COVID hit.
Yeah.
It took us 5 years to get this place open, and then sure enough,
boom,
right when we get it open, a global pandemic like this world has never seen, and that's true. I mean, they've never had to shut down the world's economy like they did this time.
Yeah.
It's just never happened.
Yeah.
So it's been just a year. It's been a phenomenal year and a half, but it's been a year and a half of just pivoting our business model, doing what we can to survive.
Yeah, you haven't had a normal. You don't even know what normal is yet, do you?
No, and we're still not even there. Even though things
crazy.
Seem like they're getting better.
So you're still not there because you don't have staff, and there's still, you know, you don't know what's happening next. And
yeah.
Just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody it's just a constant work in progress.
All right.
It is. You know, the good part of that, though, is if, you know, we just opened this place. If we can get through COVID, a global pandemic, hopefully, God, we better be able to get through.
You're gonna be okay.
You really think so? Yeah.
We hope so. I mean,
that's a good optimistic way to look at it too.
I mean, aliens are gonna come invade us. I mean, that's the only other thing that could be worse.
Tornado takes out the building. At least we got insurance. Yeah, so.
Hey, there you go.
And the beautiful beer garden.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's great.
I have a quick story about going back to your experimental beer, and I think it may have been you that had talked to a lot of my fiance Alexa and I were sitting at the bar, and somebody came running out from the making the beer. Hey, you should try this. And we're like, it's a seltzer. It was like a pumpkin seltzer. And we're like, no, I don't know. You're like, let's try it. Like, we tried it, and it was like really good. And I may have been you. Does it sound like something you would do?
Probably was.
Okay.
It wouldn't have been anybody else if they were coming out of the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell anyways. Yeah. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
And was it?
Yeah. I didn't buy it, but like, I think it was pretty good.
Did it make the...
We're drinking too much
beer.
Well,
how often do you drink seltzers?
Not often.
There you go.
Not often. Yeah.
It's all I drink now.
Usually only when I run out of beer, but...
Brian's bachelor party's this weekend.
Yes, it is. Whoa.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Wedding is August 20th, so it's approaching.
Where are you going for the bachelor party?
Port Sanilac.
Okay.
You ever been?
Never been.
Where is that?
Yeah, right?
Neither of us.
Neither have we.
Port Sanilac.
It's like right here.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I've never been anywhere like Detroit. I've been there, but like, nope. None of this area.
Never been up to Thumb either.
No idea what's up there.
There's an awesome, it's called Turnip Rock. It's like a kayak destination, but it's right in the lakes, just off the tip. Which
good
is
to know.
Cool.
Okay.
Sounds like a good hangover place.
Sunken ships over there.
Really?
Check out. So.
Huh. Okay.
If you're diving or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I think we're just going to, we'll be floating on rafts.
Yeah, you
bought a nice floaty thing for us,
okay.
Larry.
Yeah, this is kind of fun.
I bought a six-person raft.
Yeah, it's like the stupidest, craziest thing I've ever seen.
Everyone faces each other?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
We're all going to touch feet. It's going to be badass.
It's like a big, open, like, it's almost like a hot tub.
But I know.
Like who's touching? Hot tub, raft, and then it has like a, I don't know, I can't explain it, but it's like a, inflatable hot tub with like a deck on it almost. It was $200 on Amazon, and it's still in a box.
That's a cheap hot tub right there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's either going to be the best thing I've ever bought in my entire life, or it's going to pop, an hour into the bachelor party?
Larry, it is going to be a great vessel for ingesting beer, so that's all we need it for.
There you go.
I think it'll
Thanks,
it'll
pal.
Do.
I appreciate you.
It's going to be something. I don't even know what to expect right now.
Get super thick tape and reinforce the bottom of it, and then you'll be set with it popping.
That's it.
That's the idea.
Because it's gonna break, right? Like, there's no way it lasts. But I'm going in with that attention. That's why I got it.
It had some stars on Amazon, right?
It did.
Had a couple stars.
A couple. As long as it's got two.
Do you guys have a rule when you buy on Amazon? Like, what stars? Like, I'm not touching it.
Oh, basically over four.
Yeah.
Over four, but with the free returns.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know.
The day I remembered to return.
That's what they get you.
It really is.
Like these bastards are never going to remember.
Four phone cases that I got four in a row that didn't like line up with my buttons on my phone. And I just chopped, like cut it open and used that.
Been there.
Yeah. And then I should have just returned them. And so I was like, no, I should just probably buy another one until it works.
Kind of feels cool to MacGyver it, though.
It felt
it's like,
cool.
Hey, honey, you see this? I'm a real man.
I used a knife, right?
I love it. Amazon is the devil, but yeah. I live so, off of it.
Kind of pivoting back to you guys now.
Oh, sorry.
Do you guys have any big plans for the brewery? Do you want to expand? Do you want to go into any kind of different markets? Do you want to distribute more? Are you just kind of just like pumped where you're at?
You know, we're kind of taking baby steps, I guess you would say. You got to crawl before you walk. So we're literally going day by day and just doing upgrades to the property.
Sure.
And, you know, sure. thing upgrades to our facility, you know, all with plans to eventually get us to where we want to be. You know, I'd views of more distribution, things of that nature, but you know, it's all about right here at home first.
Awesome.
You know, keeping everyone local happy that comes into our tap room, giving them the experience. So if you look out into our parking lot right now, we've got a pizza trailer.
Okay.
You know, basically they call it all food trucks, but it's a food trailer, you know.
Okay.
And there's a massive cement patio right now in the beer garden, and it's gonna go right there. So
that's cool.
One of the things we got coming up, but
that's exciting.
That'll be nice because I mean it probably helps with staff because you could probably turn out pizzas pretty easy.
Exactly. It helps with our kitchen too because before we built this building, you know, we had no idea what size we would need and things of that nature. So mainly it's just to take some of the load off the kitchen.
Okay.
But also works. You
know? So will it be like just you're cooking it there, or you can just straight up sit in the beer garden and go up and order there too?
Yeah, it'll be pretty much, you can just go right up to it. You know, it's going to be primarily pizzas coming out of there. So, you know, if our kitchen's getting overwhelmed on a busy Saturday, you know, our food truck will be out there. So you can go order from that too, whatever your fancy is. And we get pounded. I mean, anyone spend a Rockford knows about the, it used to be the Van Andel Sports Complex. Now it's the Meyer Sports Complex.
Yeah.
So we get pounded on Saturday, Sundays with Little League teams coming in here. So having that thing is going to be a saving grace, pumping out pizzas.
Honestly, I've never been in here when you guys weren't busy.
No.
And over this last summer, when we'd have friends come visit us in Grand Rapids and Rockford, we'd have the, you know, ton of biking and stuff like that, but we'd always bring people here because you guys had the outside area.
Yeah.
And that was really big for us for COVID. But also now it's just like, if we're going to bring anyone anywhere, we usually come here because we've got this massive outside space, which is sweet, but being able to order food out there is even cooler.
Yeah.
It's the place where I show off Rockford, if I'm being dead honest. Like, it's like, I have someone in town or something, which obviously hasn't happened other than like my parents, but since COVID.
I would say my dad loves it here.
So. Yeah, it's like the cool little Rockford getaway. I think you guys did a good job of that.
We love hearing that because we had a lot of people question our location here when we were first doing it. I mean, go back about 2 years ago, this was all completely wooded area. Down Childsdale corridor here, it's all industrial, so it's all, you know, warehouses and things like that. So we had a lot of people questioning, you know, you're gonna put what there? You're gonna put a brewery there out in the middle of nowhere? But we knew that's what we wanted to do. We needed to do something that was different, something that was a unique experience that would bring people here. And we're all, you know, huge outdoor people, huge runners, so we knew being off the White Pine Trail, being in the middle of the woods, being across from the Rogue River, this was everything that we wanted.
I think being off the White Pine is makes like we did a really cool ride last year, right, where we did like, I don't know, a couple mile, 20 or 30 mile ride, and then ended up here. It was awesome.
You're gonna say a couple mile ride.
That works too.
Sometimes. I was coming from my house.
How much beer you drink?
Mark, Alex, and I rode here actually 2 weeks ago.
Did you? Yeah,
so, yeah. Awesome. We hit. Yeah, we were gonna go further, but we had too many beers first at Rockford Brew, and we're like, all right. Well, our intention was to end here, so we had to make sure we came back.
It's creating a really cool corridor right on the White Pine Trail, the breweries that you can hit up. I mean, we're good friends with Ringler and Jeff and Seth over at RBC and the guys down at Elk too. So, you know, we're always in conversations about setting up cool bike events and things like that where people can hit up, you know, four or five breweries within a, you know, a 10-mile radius on the White Pine Trail.
Yeah, Rockford Bike Shop owner George was talking to me. He said that him and Katie, and they just purchased property.
Just down the road, the other side of the road, just down the street.
He's going to be here all the time drinking beer, so that's good.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, last time I was in his shop, while he's fixing my bike, he offered me a 3NE.
Oh, so nice.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Tell him to open up sooner then.
Yeah.
Like, get this thing going quicker. Yeah, come on.
Come on. Easier access to beer.
We're
ready to pivot a little. You guys are super, because we usually talk bikes, but you guys are super into running. I know. What?
So, I want to talk about these distances you guys are running.
Yeah, you guys are like psychos, right?
Yeah, like, we are.
I guess someone would say that.
Troy more so for me. So we grew up running. My dad was a coach cross country for 23 years at a local
high school. That'll do it.
Sig Hart, back in Mount Pleasant, won a whole bunch of state championships and stuff. So we all ran for him. Me, my brother, my sister. we all ran cross country with him. So we're lifetime runners. That's why we, you know, drink so much beer. We run so we can drink all the beer.
There you go.
And eat all the ice cream.
That's why I buy a fan.
So we're those crazy guys that we go out and we do marathons and things like that. But Troy's taking it to a different level. He's currently starting to get into ultra marathons, which is 100 miles.
I like, just like, what do we call it?
I'll get it. 100 miles has got to be called.
Marathon wasn't big enough, so we're going to call it the super marathon. No, that's dumb. The mega marathon? No, that's ultra. Ultra.
100 miles.
Ultra.
A mega is probably 75, but that's got a good role there. A mega marathon. Yeah, does that exist yet?
Mega marathon.
Mega?
Anything over a marathon is technically just an ultra.
Okay. Got it.
Kind of all encompassing term.
So what's the furthest that you've ran then, both of you guys?
I've done six marathons, so I guess a marathon is probably the longest I've done, 26.2 miles. Okay. But Troy's done a lot further than that.
So I actually just started training for ultras, though, about 2 years ago, because I was signed up for an ultra in Marquette last year, but naturally, like everything else, it got canceled.
Sure.
So
what
much fun training for that. What is
the marathon in Marquette called?
Ultra. I think it was this Marquette Trailer, Marquette 50.
Okay. Does it take place during the Margie?
There's a couple of different ones, but no, I don't think it does take place during the Margie. Okay. I think they probably would have marketed it as the Sutcher or something like that. But I was training for that last year, and that didn't happen. So awesome. You know, I spent all that time. But so I rolled it over to this year and kept training, you know, much to my wife's chagrin. You're spending how much more time running each day?
Yeah.
But so that run is coming up. It's a 51 miler up in Marquette. I'm on the wait list for it, though. But I did just do a 30, just over 31 miles at Canonsburg two Saturdays ago. And this Saturday, we got the trail marathon at Luton. So we'll be doing
Hurt the Dirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how long is that?
Just the marathon, trail marathon, so 26.2.
You know, just the marathon.
You said you did 50. How long does that take you?
So training for a 50 mile. I haven't done the 50 miler yet, though. Okay. But I want to be, I want to finish in under 8 hours.
Okay. I was thinking like days.
Like you get into the 100 milers and things like more than that, then it'll be,
it can be days. Do you take a quick like power nap or do you not stop?
During a race like that, you generally, if there's a really steep uphill, you'll stop and walk up it. So at the Canonsburg.
Oh, you just stop running to walk?
If you're going up a steep hill, but you know, if you gotta go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom. If you go to an aid station and you gotta stop to fill something up, you get some food, something of that nature. But it's Forrest Gump.
You just keep running.
I was running when I was hungry. I ate. When I was tired. I slept.
I'm just great thinking, advice.
That's pretty much an ultra.
The furthest race that, like, Larry and I do is Iceman.
On a
bike. Yeah. And there's times where sometimes I'm like, I got to get off the bike for a second. And I'm like, I'm going to stretch or something. But, like,
yeah. Like, we take breaks on a 30-mile bike ride, let alone running.
Yeah, 30-mile bike ride. It's under 2 hours if you're, well, for the good guys. But, anyways.
So, are you guys usually at Merrill and Luton then?
Or? Oh, yeah. We live there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fresh out of being father, so I can only get out like once a week lately. Yeah. But
congratulations!
Thank you. It's awesome. But I'm
the Berg.
I haven't done Canonsburg once this year, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Get out there. There's a lot of new stuff.
I want to get out there more too.
Picking at shit.
So how often do you do the connector to Egypt Valley? Or ever?
So the connector over to Egypt Valley. I don't know the dirt path there.
Ah,
I would say.
I can tell you. You go through someone's yard,
right?
Not really. You don't really go through their yard.
You've got to know somebody, I feel like.
It's basically, you're going through the woods behind their house.
Okay.
So if you make the wrong turn, you're definitely going through a yard. Okay. But
All right. Well, I always see the sign, but if I rode on a bike and you ran, I could keep up with you.
Totally. Okay. You can come with me. Yeah.
I do. So when I do that, I'll normally get on Egypt Valley Road.
Yeah, certainly.
But there's a trail that takes you there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you can combine Canonsburg and Egypt Valley.
Yeah, I'll do that on Egypt Valley Road, but not the dirt trail all the way there.
There's the sign like right when you get into like the other half of Canonsburg at the top, right? Isn't that what you do? Like at the very top of the mountain before you do like the other.
Yeah, that's the connector to the lot that's across from Egypt Valley.
Talking right across the street where there's like four parking spots.
Yeah, but there's a way to connect State Game and Canonsburg without going
on
the road.
It's basically just behind a private property sign.
Okay.
it's like, oh, hey, there's a trail going right there.
I mean, that total loop, that's like 20, how many miles is that? 20 plus miles without doing any overlapping or 22 miles?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done the Cadillac Pathway?
No.
Up in Cadillac? Oh,
that's good.
That's one of my, I've only run it probably two or three times, but that's one of my favorite trail systems.
Yeah.
I love it. It's beautiful. It's good footing. Probably great for biking too.
Is it?
It's about 11 miles, 11 and a half.
Yeah, it's for the Bear Claw Epic races up there.
Okay, yeah. We talk about it all the time. So, like, someone was just typing that. Was it Ryan Doctor?
Could have been.
Yeah, because he's talking about like a woman's race there, I think.
Okay, could have been.
Yeah.
I was going to do it this year, but it is during the Beaver Dash Bash.
Listen to that name.
I wouldn't Beaver pass
Bash.
That up.
Beaver Dash Bash, yes. My future cousin-in-law, they're putting it on in Lapeer. It's a bike race, also a running race. Or if you want to do a trail run and a bike race, you can combine the two.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Beaver Dash Bash?
In Lapeer.
Lapeer, okay.
Yeah. So what's races looking like at the end of the year? I was just doing the math. I think all of October, every weekend, I have a race.
Yeah, I'm booked. I am not doing... why can't I think of the
peak to peak?
No, the gravel. Why can't I think of the big gravel one? Barry.
I thought Barry. You were signed up.
I'm not signed up for Barry. Okay. But we have. So.
Wait, weren't you carried over?
Is peak to peak Marquette?
No.
Peak to peak is in
Crystal Mountain.
Crystal Mountain.
You go up the mountain twice, basically.
Yeah. And it's, it's really boring, except when you go up and then down.
Yeah.
And
the down's really boring,
and then you go up and down again.
Have you guys ever done a bike race up in Marquette?
No, but I think you're thinking of the Margie, which is just the most epic mountain bike race in Michigan. It's like,
how many miles is that?
It's 100, I think.
It's 50 and 100, yeah, okay. You can do either one. But they're both like just terrible.
And it's like half the time you're carrying your bike because it's just like boulders after boulders that you got to go over.
Pretty much that Marquette Ultra.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if it might even be the same like terrain, probably. They probably overlap a couple miles at least.
Yeah. Back to races, though. So there's Beaver Dash Bash.
There is, he just wants to say Beaver Dash Bash.
I love saying it. And your category is based on your beer age. That. And I'm an eager beaver.
No, I name a beer that.
Do it.
What kind of beer would that be?
What would it be?
Beaver Dash Bash.
Yeah, I feel.
Yeah, some type of brown ale, right?
Keep
the
brown ale.
Keep the bee going.
Yeah.
Like that.
Some grit in there.
Beaver Bash.
Add some pulp.
I'm thinking like pickles.
Pickles.
Okay. Pickles and a brown ale.
Yeah.
A pickled brown ale.
A pickled brown ale.
Why do you think of pickles when you hear beaver?
I don't know. It's just for my head.
Interesting.
I mean, it looks satisfying for. I don't know.
Gross. I love it.
Yeah, back to the drawing board.
So there's Beaver Dash Bash. And then there's Barry that I'm not signed up for. I don't know where, but I think Joel is. We have. Is this shut off?
Oh, good catch. Keep going.
We had Peak to Peak if we're going to do it. There's also the MSU Grand Fondue, which is September, earlier September. It's a road ride.
It's the cheesiest race around.
Very clever. And then there is, Peak to Peak. And then Iceman, right?
Iceman.
Am I missing one
cap
there?
It out.
Then on the same day as the Beaver Dash Bash, there is... Yankee Springs Time Trial, and also the Bear Claw Epic, which is kind of a bummer, but
yeah. So that's
big race.
All the races at the end of the year for us.
Yeah, and then just mountain bike. And then if you're into CX racing, there's a whole bunch of shit. But the guys that are like the road bikes or the dirt that like put them on their shoulders and like hurdle stuff and that stuff's nuts.
Yeah,
RV and sport. Yeah, they put on a big one.
Oh, nice.
So, any interest in biking yet? That's our goal. We're just going to keep talking about it.
We both always had an interest.
Yeah.
The question is, when do we want to pull the trigger on a $5,000 bike?
that's a good point. Yeah. And you find the time for it, too, it's either, you can't really, some people do, but I don't know how they find the time to bike and run. It feels like it's one of the two. I mean, we all have families, we all have jobs.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you got to give up something. There's always a little give and take. But at some point, our bodies are probably going to force us. I mean, we've been running now.
Yeah.
Jesus, 25 years. I mean, our knees are going to give out at some point, probably force us to jump on a bike. So
now when you guys go for a run, like what's the time that you need to actually get an adequate workout in? Like how many days a week are you running and how long are you going?
We both run 7 days a week. Usually between 50 and 70 miles is kind of what
are
we
you guys
shoot for.
Like the wake up at 5 a.m. and crush it and start your day?
6 a.m. 6 a.m. Yeah.
5 a.m. is before the sun comes up. I can't do that.
Okay.
I tell you what, that's the best hangover cure I've ever figured out before. If you get drunk the night before, you just get yourself out of bed the next morning, go out for a short run, even if it's 20, 25 minutes, get yourself a super cold shower and a glass of milk. That's my hangover cure. I'm telling you.
The thing, I need the milk.
Yeah, now the milk, I'm like,
I don't know what the milk does, but I figured that out.
It would curdle inside me.
I figured that out like 10 years ago because I started having cereal right after, you know, hangover.
Oh, so, okay.
The milk did something to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but that was my hangover cure.
Now you're talking like full milk, 2% milk, skim milk.
Yeah, what's your go-to milk?
What's your milk?
Top five milks. Go.
And can't be chocolate.
It comes from a cow. That's all that matters.
Okay.
So yeah, chocolate milk, though, is one of the best recovery drinks you can have after a race.
Good to know.
Yep.
I do like, what about strawberry milk?
Whatever floats your boat, I guess.
I've drank that since I was 6 years old, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had
you
strawberry.
You can get banana milk, too.
I love strawberry.
It's hot in Korea.
They had that at our high school.
Banana milk?
Yeah.
How high school did you go to?
Your high school.
I know. I never had banana milk. I would have been all over that shit.
There's like, there was at least one weird milk there. It's not important.
I didn't drink milk, but anyways.
No, I like when we're up north at Brian's cabin or Evan's cabin, we do like hangover rides in the morning, and it helps. It really does.
Sweat out all the booze.
It's often a ride to a brewery though, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
Then we put it back in, and then we're just constantly, you know.
What's that place? I want to go back there.
Five Shorts. Five Shores?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Up in Benzie area?
Yep.
Yep.
Where that is? Yeah, we love that place.
Very
I've been
cool.
there a couple times.
Yeah. Nice.
And
really
speaking,
cool.
heading north, you know, Hopla, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that was really one of our inspirations for this place.
I really see it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we love Hopla. Every time we go to Traverse City, we always make the, you know, 25-minute additional drive to get up to Sutton's Bay.
You got it, right?
That's what we wanted to do here is create, you know, an outdoor scene, give people a reason when it's you know, January in Michigan, it's 25 degrees outside. Give them a reason to hang outside and drink a beer.
Yeah.
And that's what they do up at Hopla. So we wanted to try to recreate that as best we could here. So.
Oh, well, hell yeah.
That's
kudos
great.
To you guys. Leary, I remember when I was coming over to your house and we were going to do our first pod. And we stopped to have a beer here.
Oh, we did.
And we sat like over here, and it was like a massive blizzard.
Yep.
And it was badass looking. So we're like, wow, you can see it out the window. I guess it's really cool.
You know what? I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
You guys actually
inspired the first pod.
You fueled us for the first ever episode.
We probably had way too many, and that's how terrible
the
pod was.
Did not come out.
incoherent sentences.
I love it. What else is in the hot? Brian kind of already asked this, but like, what about beer-wise, anything exciting?
Well, we can circle back to that whole Egypt story there.
Okay.
I'm using hibiscus, which actually in Egypt, everywhere you go, they give you hibiscus tea. So,
okay.
Who would have known? But there's also an Egyptian herb called haba that I'm using as well. So that will be interesting. And that's the base of that is Aloza, because basically all the beers made back then, for the most part, were all sours. Pretty much every beer was sour.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No refrigeration back then. So,
okay.
Especially in Egypt where it gets up to like 130 degrees.
So the sour. So that's like real sour, not lactose sour.
Right.
So it's like the lactose sour is like you let them get like under, I don't know, anywhere near room temperature. Like I just imagine that there is some like bacterial concoction going on and it is just curdling in this can.
Oh yes. There was no cleanliness back then, so
okay. But like, so back then though, it's like more like the bacterial sours.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Okay, so it would back to like if
you're
we're
really
like,
making it sound appealing over there.
I know when I'm like, so
you know,
when we
sours, you know, when push comes to shove,
wait, when we're talking about a sour, I'm like, so like what kind of sour is it? Is it like a speciation sour or is it like a different sour? And I feel like speciation sour all has this like this vinegary, but that's, I know it's like a bacterial sour.
Yeah.
It's not like the warhead sour.
Well, I think speciation has a well-rounded sour portfolio, right?
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, all types of different souring agents that they use.
Okay.
But are we talking the beer that's coming out soon here?
Yes.
Or are we
what
talking
yes.
something that was made 10,000 years ago?
The beer that was 10,000 years ago.
So the beer that was 10,000 years ago would have been bacteria that caused that.
Well, could you, I think what Brian was trying to do, like, could you like compare it to something we might have drank recently?
Yeah.
Like, so we would know like what that means.
Like, what would it taste like? Is it speciation sour or an Arvin sour?
Which sour would be less intense for you?
Oh boy. Let's really dig in here. So like, I know like the really Like the Arvon ones are really sweet. They're like kettles and lactose.
So, kettles and lactose, yeah.
But then like speciation is all like more
open brewed. There's like free yeast that come in there for a lot of theirs. That's what I'm imagining.
But they...
The Egyptians drank.
So what the Egyptians would have drank, it wouldn't have sat along for anywhere near as long as what any commercial brewery would put out nowadays. Because you... Basically, you let the sour sit for a long time so they can mellow and for flavors to develop and things of that nature to make them also more drinkable. But back then, they wouldn't sit that long.
They were just so like, they let's were party just, now?
Yes.
Okay. Now.
But also, they weren't drinking it to get drunk. They weren't drinking it to party. But they also drank it to party. But it's also what they drank to get food. You know, it's also, you know, American Revolution, part of soldiers' rations was beer. That's partly how they got paid. So
Really?
Yeah. Also food.
I've learned four things at least since we've started talking.
Yeah. There is something about like beer and like back in older times, like beer was safer to drink than water.
Exactly. So now we're going back towards the bubonic plague and whatnot.
Yes, okay.
But yeah, because you have to boil water, you know, you have to boil it and that's what kills off any of the bacteria. And
Was this a known fact? Was it they're like, we need to make beer to keep people like safe? Or was this just like an afterthought and they're like, hey, this guy drank beer all night, all day. He's fine. But this guy drank water all day, and he died.
That's pretty much how they found it out.
And they're like, well, shit, drink all the beer.
Put the second part of that question before the first part, and you got it.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Nailed it.
Nice.
That's how they pretty much determined it and figured it out. But after that, then people knew if they drank beer, then they wouldn't be getting sick and dying. So.
Okay.
It's been a wild world.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
World. The world of beer.
Yeah. What is your if you haven't said it already, is there a favorite like tidbit or slice of beer history?
Beer trivia, beer snag.
Yeah, beer trivia. What's your favorite thing that would like blow our minds?
Well, I already told you that.
Okay. Well, which one?
Which was that?
Newfound Civilization.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
that's one I like to everyone to know. You know,
I like that
should
one.
Know that, right?
That should like that's that going to be the title of the episode. I think is that beer.
Yeah. Seriously, it's beer found civilization, and that's just it.
Okay.
And any history professor or anything like that that tells you different, just say,
it just sucks.
Just say no, dude. Okay. Actually, somebody told me it was beer.
Okay. So you don't know what like. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
So you don't know what like King Tut's favorite beer was or anything like that.
That's a good question, but we didn't pay the extra $100 to go into King Tut's tomb.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well,
had we probably wouldn't know, but
sure, he had a Budweiser there, you know.
Probably the beer that got him buzzed.
Speaking of we've gone over like favorite to drink. What's your favorite to brew?
Good question.
To be completely honest, our Hefeweizen.
Okay, what's the main reason why?
It's 70% wheat, so the grain bill is very simple. It has very low hopping rate. We just do a bittering addition. We use melanoid malt to replicate a certain type of mash that we can't do with our system. It's called decoction mash, but melanoid malt replicates that. So, and it's done within 10 days. So,
okay.
No kidding.
It's a nice quick turn on the tank, and you know, it's
all so it's easy, like that balance of like ease of use, good quality, quick turnaround.
Yep.
It's just all those like kind of perfect storm.
Ease of drink.
And ease of drink.
Okay.
And it's the perfect beer for the beer garden. So
love it. Yeah. All right. And then on the flip side, what's the hardest?
I'll be honest with you. The biggest pain in the ass beer, I think, for a lot of breweries to make is going to be the New England IPA.
The one that people are liking the most.
It's
so good.
So there's a lot of different steps that go into making the beer when you have to add hops so many different times.
Gotcha.
We've heard this. We asked the guy, the Old Nation guy, he was talking about M43, and at the time, Strawberry M43 like just came out. Oh, and we're like, yo, you gotta be pumped. Like, this it flies off the shelves. And he's like, yo, to be honest, like, I hate the shit out of this beer. It destroyed my favorite beer ever that I like. It's a pain in the butt to make. I painstakingly make sure it's like perfect. And now we're going to throw a bunch of shit in it and make it like a different taste. But people buy it, so I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. And shout out to Travis. That was a good episode.
That was good.
That.
You guys grow your own hops or
well, we grow some hops on property, but the hops that we grow on property are actually just used in our harvest ales come harvest time.
Oh, okay.
Because we can't grow anywhere near enough hops to be able to use them for all
of our
years.
Them all year round. So do you sprinkle them in with some other hops or do you save them for just homegrown fruit?
We just use them for our harvest ales and we use them all for the dry hop.
I like that. That's a good move.
I remember you had like the harvest, like a harvest IPA 1, harvest IPA 2.
Yeah, yep. And that's because we got the two trellises and there's different hops on both of the trellises.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you have out there right now?
Our beer garden trellis has Chinook and Mackinaw.
Okay.
And Mackinaw is a proprietary Michigan hop.
I do not know Mackinaw hops, so.
No. Well, come this fall, you will.
Okay, I'm excited.
And let's see, because I have the other one. The other one's a plethora of hops. So I got it all on my phone. Alpha Aroma, Zeus, Challenger, Petoskey, Centennial, Cascade, Saz, Challenger, Triple Pearl, Brewgold, Saz, Chinook, and Magnum is everything from the parking lot trellis.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Kitchen sink.
I've heard a lot of those. Not all of them, but.
Yeah, a lot of those
I'm pretty proud that I've heard a few of them.
Yeah, so. we've got a good amount of Saz out there, too, so I want to be able to do a harvest white pine as well, which I think would be fun. And I'd like to take some of the hops that we have and do a harvest cider. Just a dry hop cider.
Hop cider is one of my favorites, and it's hard to find a good one, let alone. I feel like that was a big thing a while ago, and now it's not as popular now.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the whole cider craze kind of died down, so people weren't trying too much. I think like the sweetness, at least that's what turned me off eventually.
Cider
like,
was huge.
You can't
like
have more than two of them nowadays without feeling like death.
It's funny though, because the U.S. was very late to the cider game. Like all over the rest
of the U.S.
World,
okay.
Like Africa, the U.K., whatnot, they've been drinking cider for years. Whatever pub you go to.
Interesting.
They serve it with ice, but.
And it sounds better.
It does. Yeah, I feel like it watered it down a little bit. I like that.
Vandermill always had a good hop cider.
Yeah.
And then the place in TC, the winery that's also the cidery.
Oh, you're going to kill me. I forget. They have the vanilla Madagascar.
Nope. That's a different one. Taproot. That's
Taproot.
I'm thinking the winery that's up Old Mission had it. You know, anyone know what I'm talking about?
Oh, it's like the dude on a bike.
They have a huge like garden. It's not a beer garden. It's like a wine garden. You can walk out up at the top. I was just there and I can't. I have a sticker and I. Oh shit! Anyway,
two lads. No, that's
I apologize
that's
to these folks.
Just call it the vineyard.
The cidery vineyard. Sutton's Bay Ciders is kick ass.
Oh yeah. One of the best locations.
But yeah, that's kind of it. I feel like, I do feel like cideries were, they were taken off and then they kind of just like,
Yeah, it's one of those things too. I mean, some people are saying that about seltzer too, but it's something
I don't see the seltzer train slowing down at all.
Yeah.
There's always going to be taxes. There's always going to be a market for it.
I think the biggest appeal for seltzers, at least for me anyways, is that I can get them with low carb. And I've been, for Brian's wedding, I'm doing ketos. I got to lose this baby slash, it's a baby slash quarantine. I've been hit.
Badge part, are you allowed to have a beer? Your body?
I'm just going to probably do White Claws if I'm being honest.
Someone's going to sneak you a beer, like mess you up. I feel like they're going to be like, Larry's not in ketosis anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm whatever.
We'll make sure. I'll make sure it doesn't happen. The wedding, though.
How would someone do that?
Easily. They just pour beer in your seltzer can and you're going to be like,
I wouldn't notice.
Well, you drink enough of it.
I guess,
Be floating down in the sun all day long.
That's very true.
How much does it take to get your body out of ketosis?
I don't know the whole science.
Like, if one sip of Busch Light is you're going to be immediately
it's like you got to, like, break your, like, daily carb allowance.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm going for that. It's just like, give me buns, give me potatoes, give me beer.
And then just start again the next day. It's not. I don't know enough about it to talk about it. I just sound like an idiot.
Is that working for you?
Yeah, I lost like 10 pounds.
How long have you been doing it for?
Like 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Where those cheese crisps were. Those were good as shit that I ate at your house last week.
Yeah, keto.
This episode's also sponsored by...
My dad lost like 90 pounds already. Like, he's been doing that for a long time. So that's all right. If it works, it works.
I go for the all carb diet.
You maniac runners, what do you guys eat for breakfast?
To be honest with you, usually it's
like 37 bagels or like.
Yeah, I almost always eat a Pop-Tart before I go for a run.
Really? What flavor?
Brown sugar cinnamon.
Oh, yes.
My man.
Blue. That's the only, well, that and the Oreo.
Dude, thanks, man. Yeah. You got to make sure people
S'mores
think
one.
Cool.
That was always my go-to.
Okay. Yeah.
S'mores?
Yeah.
Do you also Pop-Tart before you run?
You know, I don't. I don't have anything really specific that I eat.
No, really? No, like?
Nothing really, no.
Routine?
No, not really. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, maybe. That's my go-to cereal. Probably eat that 3 days a week at least.
Okay.
Love it.
Apart from that, though, it's all about carbs.
The more carbs, the better. Yeah, yeah. Eat pasta, run pasta.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Now,
that's
do
all of our energy.
Do you eat both Pop-Tarts or just the one and save the one for later? Or do you put it in your pack and get away?
Brian needs to know.
I'm thinking like secrets. Like, can't tell you can't
no,
tell.
No, I don't usually. Pop-Tarts are too dry if you eat them during a run. So if I'm doing a long run, I'll eat a banana or like the
during
running
the run?
Gels.
The gels? Yeah, okay. Yeah. What's your go-to gel?
There's actually. I think it's called ISO, something of that nature. It's actually like mixed part with water too, so it's
nice.
Easier to take down.
It's not called Roctane.
I also eat Roctane. Okay, but the Roctanes are thicker, you know.
Yeah.
Those are a little bit more difficult, but the other ones are. And during that the 50K at Cannonsburg, my wife put some in a cooler, and then she handed it to me while I was running.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh. Roctanes or the other gels?
Not the Roctane, the other
gels. Okay.
Because the Roctane just is too thick, so you have to drink after you take one of those.
Yep.
But the other one's nice and liquid, so.
Nice. I still have that big thing of Carbo Rocket just in my cupboard.
I went through one of them. I opened my other one recently.
Do you not like it?
I love it. Yeah, I went through a whole one. I'm onto the second one. I love it.
Why is that in your cupboard?
What do you mean?
Get that out of there right now. I heard you say carb. What type of diet are you?
It's
that's what I'm saying.
Already it's literally a jar of temptation for you.
If I were to break it, it wouldn't be for nutrition fuel. Like,
Larry's
damn good beer, hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be beer or pizza.
Larry's gonna get back from the batch party and just take like spoonfuls of Carbo Rocket. Let's fucking go!
I'm done.
I need it all.
Oh, classic.
I mean, who knows? I've done worse.
Well, hey, making it sound delicious. I can't want spoonfuls of it now.
Yeah, right.
It's, well, it's like lemonade, strawberry, or something delicious. So.
Yeah,
I is it a drink mix.
Drink mix. Yeah.
Throw it in your water bottles, guys. This has been great. I don't want to keep you too long, but we're at our hour mark. Any last? We don't have to wrap up.
We don't have to wrap up.
Like,
but
any like things you want to hit? Anything before we wrap up? Like. Anything you're excited about plugging, or what do you want to tell anyone in the world? Like, we have like at least 100 people.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell my parents about it. You get two more.
This is a big deal. Hell yeah.
That's the whole reason we
here we go.
We're hoping to tap into the parent demographic. Yeah.
Yeah, just say, I mean, if you're into, you know, biking, running, paddling, fishing, just anything off the beaten path, if you like just having a beer in an outdoor beer garden, looking at the trees, you know, on a sunny Saturday in the middle of the summertime, that's what we built this place for. You know, we want to really bring together nature, people, you know, bring together neighbors, people you never met before, and have a beer with them in our beer garden. So that's really what we're trying to do here at Third Nature, is just, you know, give a little something for everybody. And that's, I think, what our continued focus is always going to be, to keep it simple, good beer, good people, and a good atmosphere, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll toss this out there too, because beer and biking podcast. You know, we sponsor a few races, and you know, we'd like to sponsor bike races as well. You know, basically, part of our whole thing is an active lifestyle. You know,
okay.
Doing something to support. You know, being able to drink multiple beers.
Yeah.
Most important thing is, you know, promoting health.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, if there's any races, anything of that nature, any clubs or whatnot, we're always open for sponsoring stuff.
I love hearing that.
I love to keep that in mind. I would love to, at some point, I want to put on like an autism awareness race, bike race. And I feel like the process of organizing a bike race is extremely daunting, especially here in Kent County, because we have so many people that live here. So you got to like let everyone know. You're not just like, you can't get a race permit right away. But yeah, I would... keep you guys in mind. That'd be badass.
Yeah, we've been trying to get a race permit, so yeah, we know something about that.
Have you guys?
Or Chad knows something about
is
it?
I should say. A running race permit, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
what goes
that
into
sounds,
that? I'd love to learn a little.
Yeah, let's get into that.
a lot. I mean, you think, you're just putting on a race. I mean, come on, it's just a lot of people running, right? It's got to be super easy. Well, no, it's not because you need to, you got to close down roads, okay?
So
you need to get the police involved so they can close down roads. you need to let people that live on those roads know that the roads are going to be closed. So during this period of time, you can't really get to your house if you need to. There's a lot of liability waivers in place in case something were to happen in the race. So there's a lot more to it than you would think. So, but that is one of our goals, to eventually host a great community, you know, race here with a good cause at some point. So eventually when we get all that figured out, we'll do it eventually. But in the meantime, I mean, we try to sponsor as much as we can. We sponsor the Hurt for Dirt, which is a great trail race in Luton Park. Tell us
about that.
Yeah, so that's coming up this Saturday. Normally that's in April of every year.
Okay.
But because of COVID, they had to push it back.
Because of the world, right?
Everything's because of COVID. They pushed it back till the end of July this year. So that's coming up this Saturday. But, you know, I've done that race probably four different times. It's a great trail race in Luton. They've got a quarter marathon, a half marathon, and a marathon. Then afterwards at Luton Park, they have a big pig feast out there.
That's awesome.
Big lunch and everything.
Sweet.
So everyone hangs around afterwards, talks to each other, eats good food, drinks good beer. We sponsored that one. Then Mitchell's run through Rockford's, another big 5K here in Rockford.
Cool.
That's in August of every year. And we sponsor that as well, one of the sponsors. So, those are both great events. And that's certainly something we always want to get into is, you know, keeping people active and sponsoring these things as much as we can, getting our name behind it.
That's cool. Awesome. Going back to the Luton race, what does that trail look like? Like, what you do, like, some on the trail, some on the road, or you just do, like, five laps?
On the trail, yeah. So what is it?
So all the loops?
What is it? Blue? No, it's blue, green, black, and red.
Yes. Okay. So you just cut orange out?
There's like little side, you know,
and yellow.
Little side parts that you can add on at Luton.
Okay.
But all
yeah.
those little side parts are basically just cut off.
Yeah, okay. So the first race is a quarter marathon, so 6.5 miles. So, so that does, like Troy said, it does the green loop, then the blue loop, then the black, then the red. And then the half marathon does it twice, and then the marathon does it, obviously, four times. Yeah.
Perfect.
So,
That's really cool. That'd be fun.
What are you gonna do?
Come
it?
Run the marathon.
I'm going the 6 mile. I would consider.
Come on out. Yeah.
No, Leo, you'll be drinking carbs on Saturday.
Oh, it's this weekend.
Yes.
It's Saturday. Yeah.
I'll be on a big giant hot tub float.
Down the river.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Nice. So then, are you guys providing the beer for that? Are you providing the meat, or what's going on for sponsoring that?
We got the meat.
We got the meats. Yeah, with their nature, we get the meats.
We're providing gift cards to age group winners, and then we're also providing the after party. So.
Very
throughout
fun.
The day and throughout
here?
The night, people after the race, yeah.
Come oh, okay, right so you're not shipping your beer over to
I
Luton.
Wish we could, but you know, Luton Park will not let us do that. There's
no yeah.
Whole other well, okay. Over there have beer. You know, right
that's why I'm not doing it, you guys. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, there's nothing better than finishing a race, a bike race, a running race, meal, having a beer right at the finish line.
Oh my God.
We love that. We've done Volstoff, which is a huge race up in over in Frankenmuth every single year on the 4th of July, and that's one of the best parts of it. You get done. And they literally hand you a beer right afterwards. A beer right at the finish line. It's phenomenal.
Yes.
It's an ice cream a lot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what ice draws ice to ice.
Okay.
Bells, there's a big Bell's 10 at the end of Iceman.
Nice.
And that's pretty cool.
I think 80% of this podcast is just us talking about Iceman.
But Iceman.
You guys do a lot. I listen to all your
we
podcasts.
Really
just Iceman. It's just Iceman.
Makes me want to get up and do it, yeah.
I still stand by. I mean, that's
awesome.
Why we talk about it so much.
And like sure. the race itself is honestly like it's boring. I don't know. Like, but like it's the after party, and you're like, yeah,
that's true.
Is that just a bike race?
Yeah, it's a 30-mile bike race. You go from Kilkaska to Traverse City, and it's mostly flat with a few hills at the end, is what they describe it as, which is totally accurate. And it's. What gets really shitty is if it's bad weather.
Yeah.
Like last time, I mean, it was knee-deep mud for like the whole time, and it's like, holy fuck, that sucked. But it's just the end of it. Yeah, your after party. You go back to your hotel, you go into like downtown Traverse City, and everybody's there. And so there's at least 5,000 racers, and those 5,000 racers at least have, you know, probably 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 people that came with them. And you have all these people that go downtown. So it's a very not COVID friendly event.
Yeah.
But when that's not, and then, yeah, we all go to Kilkenny's in this small, tiny basement and we all
then
dance.
Just
and
get everyone sick.
That was probably ground zero for COVID.
I mean, let's be for real.
I think so. Have you been to Kilkenny's in Traverse City? It's underneath North Peak. Brewing?
No. Yeah, I've been down there before.
Okay, yeah. If a disease were to be started in Traverse City, that's
like
where it would start.
Real wild. Started at the double head and went everywhere.
5,000 people were dancing. Yeah. So,
huh? So
I thought of one maybe last question, if not just one other question. What are your favorite other Michigan breweries?
Yeah, so I'll go first. So we love our local, you know, when we were opening this place up, that's the great thing that you guys know about the brewing community is, you know, it's a rising tide raises all ships. And I really feel like everyone in the brewing community believes that.
I love that. That's awesome.
We had so much help when we were opening up this place.
That's cool.
I mean, Ed over at City Bill, I know he's been on your guys' path.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
As far as listening to him, he was a huge help to us.
Really?
You know, our local neighbors. Yeah, our local neighbors here at RBC and over at Cedar Springs are always a big help to us. Yeah, my favorite brewery, holy cow, I probably have to go back to my inspiration for this place, which is Hop Lot. I mean,
okay.
Awesome.
We love going up there. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that every time we go to Traverse City, we make the extra 25-minute drive there and
over
back
to Hop Lot. Yeah.
It's just such a cool, you know, unique experience. I mean, where else in Michigan are you going to sit outside when it's 20, other than our place, obviously, when it's 25 degrees around a bonfire at a brewery, you know, having a beer, no place else. I mean, it's winter time in Michigan, everybody hibernates, they go inside, unfortunately. But yeah, I'd have to say Hop Lot's probably my, you know, my go-to.
Okay.
This is Michigan breweries or breweries all over the state?
I guess you say whatever. Yeah.
So
interpret it as you will.
We did a nice little brewery tour of southern to mid to northern California quite a few years back now. Okay. Chad and I, and we went to loads of breweries. But we did stop at Russian River.
Chad called it.
This was quite a few years ago, but they do this awesome like around the world sampler, you know, around the world flight basically for every single beer that they have. They give you like an ounce or 2 ounces of it each shot, and you know, a great brewery is a brewery that you go to and you can drink every single one of their beers, and you know, the beer might not be a style that you like, you know, you might not gravitate towards it, but you put it down, you can't say, all right, but I can't really say a bad thing about that beer because it's still a good beer.
So good.
Gotcha.
Okay. And I like that.
Because of that, that brewery is right up there for me. Honestly, I've never had a beer that I've drank at Bell's that I would say was a bad beer either, you know?
Awesome.
Absent of all flavors, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I might have a beer that I don't necessarily enjoy.
Just not your jam. Style. Yeah.
Exactly. But I couldn't say it's bad.
You'd appreciate it.
Yeah,
especially you probably could be like, oh, I see what they did there. Okay, good choice. I get it.
Well, like so one of those moves. Things I did while I was overseas was I got into the BJCP, so Beer Drive Certification Program. So it's
the BJP.
How many episodes have you done now?
The Beaver Bash Dash.
Beaver Bash Dash. Do you want to be what is it?
It's a great thing. It's a great program.
What is it?
Most people can't believe this actually exists.
What is it?
It's a program for people to actually be educated.
What's it called though?
Beer Judge Certification Program.
What's the initial? What is the
BJCP?
So Beer Judge Certification Program.
Will you be a BJCP at the Beaver Dash Bash?
Sounds like it.
BJDC at
the
BJCP at the Beaver Dash Bash. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically just a program where you know, you have to take tasting. You do a tasting test.
Okay.
There's also another written test, but to get certified to be able to actually become a proper beer judge, I guess. So.
What does a test entail? Like, is this a good beer? Is this a bad beer? Or is it like, what style is this? Where did it come from?
That's
hops
it.
Are
it's
in
just
it?
One question.
So basically, it's,
yeah, is this good or bad?
Just one.
Good
or bad. So
and the answer is in fact good.
But they've got all these style definitions, and a lot of beer competitions all over the world actually use their style definitions to, you know, base all the beer styles on. So you got to learn those, and then you basically just do a sitting, and you know you taste a bunch of different beers, and you do your own judging with them because they got their own score sheets as well. And then at the end of that, they compare your score sheet to like a
sounds official as hell
judge that, you know. And then you know, if you're close to them, then all right,
that's
you know
awesome.
Your shit.
Do you where do you do this at? Is it
all over the place?
You can
literally all over
someone
the world.
In Michigan could try to become a BJCP.
You just got to look at their website, and they've got all the dates where
BJCP.
They do the certain tests all over the places. And
okay,
go and do it.
But, you think two podcasters could do it?
That might be a fun episode.
How hard is
know,
it?
It just starts.
Was it
start
difficult?
Start studying the style guidelines, and then you know. But no. I don't think he'll be able to pass because he only drinks seltzers now.
Fuck. Now I'm assuming. After keto. Now I'm assuming they're not just like, what style is this? Is this an IPA or a brown? Go.
No.
Are they like? Is this a Northwestern IPA? Is this a Northeastern IPA? Is this with hops are in it?
So I think So. We'll answer that, but I just want to step in. So I think even more difficult than the beer judge certification that he's got is he's also certified Cicerone, which is kind of the equivalent to a wine sommelier, I guess.
Whoa.
And I say it's difficult because, I mean, I come out of the world of finance, and I remember when he was studying to become a certified Cicerone, looking through his study material, and it thing was so foreign to me. It looked like it was pre-med. So much chemistry. It's unbelievable.
Really?
It's a pretty cool designation.
So does that, like, you like pairing guides and all of that included?
I did my like Cicerone, that? Actually, back when the Cicerone program was young. So nowadays, it's been around for quite some time. But I think I did mine near 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago now. And Chad and I actually went to the BJCP for... went to the BJCP, GABF, every year up until last, Great American Thank Beer you. Festival,
out in Denver,
every year up until last year, and I did my test for it, the Cicerone test there, and the night before was the first time I ever had Pliny the Elder, and there's a beer bar in Denver, it's called Falling Rocks, and they always have it on tap, but at that time, it was hard to get anywhere, it's one of the sought-after beers, it was the number one beer in America, 6 years in a row, something of that nature, and I got a picture of myself. With this over 8% double IPA, glass in one hand, glass in the other hand, the night before I'm taking the Cicerone exam.
So, and it helped you train,
hope
right?
this goes well. Yeah, right?
Dude, if you ever go to a beer fest, you need to go to the Great American Beer Fest out in Denver.
I'd love to hear more about this.
It's the beer fest of beer fest, the godfather of beer fest.
It invented beer fest.
There's 600 plus breweries at this beer fest. I mean, it's in the convention center right in downtown Denver. There's 20,000 people. I'm not even exaggerating. It's unbelievable. And it's, you know, they don't have the token system that we have in Michigan here. So you get a tasting glass and you can fill it up as much as you want. So what's good about that is if you have a beer that you don't like, you can pour it out and try something else that you like. But
what's the main goal of that? Is it for like breweries to network, or is it
it's also one of the biggest beer competitions in the U.S. or the biggest beer competition in the U.S.
Very cool.
So, but it's a massive beer festival, so everyone from anywhere, all over the world, people go to it. You know, I've got friends in Korea that went there to go to it.
Very cool.
And if a brewery's there, it's just basically a showcase your beer to all the country.
Sweet.
You got people coming.
Have you guys entered competitions yet?
Yeah, we were actually entered the GABF. I shipped our beers out last week for it.
Oh, sure.
Then there was another beer competition, like U.S. Beer Cup, something like that. That we just entered
the UBC.
Yeah, and both of them were last week, so I sent all the beers out last week.
Okay. Well, can we vote or something?
No.
It's just up to the beer gods now.
And then it goes back to the BJCP because a lot of times they, get judges that are BJCP certified or a certain rank in the BJCP to judge them.
So you go off that when you're like picking which one you want to like brew for the competition?
Yeah. So if you're entering competition, you know what the judges are looking at. You know what their score sheet looks like. So you're basically picking it based on the style. How accurate is this beer to the style?
And did you pick a certain category that you knew you'd like hit out of the park, or?
Well, that's the difficult thing because there's so many thousands of breweries in the States now, So if you've got one beer you think you hit out of the park.
But what one did you submit?
Hundreds of. So this year we submitted White Pine Pilsner, El Jefe, and also our Cukes of Hazard, which is basil cucumber.
Ooh, okay. What's the El Jefe again?
El Jefe is Hefeweizen.
Okay.
So El Jefe and White Pine both got nominated for Best of the West. So
will
be one of the top
Review West Michigan. West. Yeah.
Very cool.
And also 3NE got it as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, I don't know if they released it yet, but so those three beers basically will be one of the top three beers for the categories voted for that magazine in Western Michigan. But
that's sweet. That would be such a cool little badge. You get like a trophy or something you get put up in the brewery?
We get a nice little plaque that goes up in the brewery because we got it last year too. And we got it
really?
Down by,
get a row going.
It. Yeah.
So hell yeah.
Yeah, just like the wall of accolades.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That'd be sick.
Do you guys have any last closing thoughts? We asked you this before, but we went on another tangent. Do you guys have anything else?
I got nothing to add.
You got nothing to ask.
Okay. No, this has been great. Thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you for hosting us. Are you kidding me? Again, this is our first time just doing this in a year, and getting to meet you guys has been so sick. And I don't know. I have nothing but good things to say.
But you guys adjusted very well. I see you actually looking across the table at each other.
I've made eye contact with every one of you at least once.
Actually here in person.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, for real.
I feel like I should have put a computer in front of myself, so I just could have,
Hey.
Yeah. Perfect.
But yeah, you guys, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
You
really, really made us feel welcome. I just, camera saw Rain on Sir Dead Tick P.
Oh,
camera's off now. But I just texted my fiance. I was like, these guys are awesome. They made us feel like so welcome. So thank you guys so much. This has been great. Like you said, it's the big deal. It's the first podcast since the pandemic. But it is a big deal. This feels really, really cool.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing this experience with us. We appreciate it.
And anyone out there who hasn't been here for some wild reason, now's your chance.
You've been here. You've been here. Everyone's been here. I feel like this place is always rocking. It's always busy. Like, the only downside to coming here sometimes is like, it might be too busy.
We've done the drive by once or twice. We're like,
well, shit, the parking lot, people are parked over there. But that is awesome for you guys. I mean, tonight it was a Wednesday and your parking lot's full. So yeah. Like it's got to feel good as business owners.
Hopefully, as a business owner, and your parking lot.
you made the parking lot small for a reason.
Undersized it.
The planning worked perfectly. Yeah, right?
No, it does. I mean, this is a family business, and we put our heart and soul and everything we have into this. So
that's always
great to see. And that's the best thing to really see is coming in here on a Wednesday night and just seeing people enjoying themselves, on the beer garden, because it was a lot of sleepless nights, to get to where we are today, and a lot of hours
consistently still.
Yeah, it still is.
Couple sleepless nights still happening.
Yeah, fucking COVID.
Yeah.
But when's it gonna go away?
For Jesus
Christ.
All right. So hold on. The real reason I had you guys on. When in the hell is Sticky Chicken coming back on the menu? I gotta know.
Ooh, I should bring our Chef Ryan up here.
Is that never?
It probably will. I mean, we did that as part of a secret menu, special menu, I guess you could say, which was, Street Eats?
Street Eats, yeah.
Was that Monday?
It was Mondays, Monday. Yeah.
That was when we were open on Mondays. And that was because Mondays generally are a slower day of the week.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be open, why not do something different
that day?
But who knows? I mean, with the pizza truck coming out there, it gives us more flexibility.
They might
in the kitchen
have Sticky Chicken out there?
Definitely not out there, but maybe they'll do it down in the kitchen.
You just got to tell me where I can get your Sticky Chicken out.
I tell you what, our Chef Ryan, though, that guy's incredible. He's got some great things coming up. So. Yeah, he can make absolutely.
It's like my all-time favorite meal, ever.
Hey, where's your rehearsal dinner at? Bring it over here. We'll have a bunch of
shit.
Sticky Chicken nonstop.
I have to bring it by.
Let's go. Yeah, right?
Ryan up here to
cancel wherever you have it at.
Yeah. Honey, we're going to Third Nature for the wedding. Yeah.
Hey, honey, by the way, I made new plans for the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
It's at a brewery. Yeah. We're bringing our bikes.
It's going to be fine.
Don't worry about it.
We're riding great. That's great.
I love that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Mm. Love it. All right. Well, on that note, thanks again. And thanks everyone for watching. And bye.
Go to Third Nature.
Yeah.
Drink their beer and ask the chef for Sticky Chicken. That's all you can do.
Cheers, guys.
Love it. See you guys.
Thank you, guys.